from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Forjay.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
And today on the show, we're bringing to you the day before the end of the world. So we're going to have to rush this show, make it quick, because, you know, tomorrow is... That's it, folks. It's time for you to cash in your checks and, you know... What are you supposed to do on the last day that you're on Earth, by the way?
I don't know. Be thankful that in a couple more days we won't have to listen to this last day on Earth bullshit.
We're going
to
get it again, though. Some other date. I don't know what. Like, what sounds freakish? You know what I mean? Like, what's the next freaky date? I think we're actually good for a little while, be honest. You might be right.
Yeah, the religious people got their kick at it, and now the Mayans are getting there, so I don't know who's left after that.
Well, it depends, because every once in a while there will be some dude who will come forward and make a prediction about some end of the world, and it'll really ring with people who just want it all to be over, because they're just like, This kind of sucks. I wanted to get better.
I was reading something about people in Russia think it's real or something like that. Because, I mean, North America, everybody talks about it. And, you know, for a while, I remember a couple of years ago, I had some friends who were pretty deep into it. And they thought, yeah, it really is the end. But, you know, as it got closer, you know.
The fire seemed to have almost kind of been put out, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Everybody, it's hit that level of attention that everybody just thinks it's funny and stupid.
Actually, I think probably one of the big factors of that was the ridiculous movie 2012. Because you watch that movie, and then you're just like, things cannot be more ridiculous than this. And then when you hear someone mention that 2012 is the end of the world, you think about that terrible movie that you saw, and you're just like, ha ha ha, funny. Maybe.
Yeah, mainstream culture has already gotten its hands on it and made it ridiculous.
Exactly. It's sort of like with rap music, you know? If you want to make rap music not cool... If you're a parent, just, you know, start liking it. That's the key. As soon as everybody else likes it, then it starts to really fall off people's radars. Because we're always looking for the new thing, you know? And now that the whole doomsday thing just almost kind of fell through. I mean, like, honestly, I thought it would be a bigger deal. And China's got to be the one that's making the huge effort to jail these weird apocalyptic Christians who are the ones who are like, yeah, this is real. China, man. Of all the places where you'd think that a bunch of religious fundies would start causing trouble.
China's getting crazier, man. And they just lock everybody up. It's not even a big deal for them.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I might lock up a group of crazy fundies who think the world's going to end the day after just for, like, 48 hours. You know what I mean? Just so everybody, so they don't do anything crazy, try to bring other people with them, or try to make that doomsday happen, because you don't think there's a cult or two out there that are like, well, it's not coming, let's do it ourselves, obviously.
Well, that kind of dovetails into the topic of today's show.
Right. It's a fucking pleasant topic, right? I say, I take a break, and now we're going to come back and we're going to talk about a mass shooting. So that's fun. Well, because it's not like the day of and there's been some time for the information to digest, what this show is actually about is the top 11 ways that the shooting has been politicized in some ridiculous and offensive way. So I think it's actually going to be more a comment about the way that the media really deals with mass shootings rather than the whole issue of gun control or anything else that people are talking about. Because we did a show about that, like, 3 months ago with the Aurora shooting, right? That part, I'm like, I think I've said my piece. I don't want to use every mass shooting to say the same things, because pretty much I'm going to be repeating myself all the time at this rate. Like every 4 or 5 months, like, it's going to get ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're almost, it got to the point where I forgot about the last big deal, the Virginia Tech. I had totally forgot about that one. I had to go back and do
track.
I know it really honestly is hard to keep track, and that's only if you're paying attention to mass murders that are happening in the U.S. because of the way that they focus on it. Because I was trying to see, is there an increase in mass murders worldwide? It's surprisingly difficult to get actual good numbers on that. It hasn't been compiled is basically the problem. And I'm not entirely good with statistics and math, so I ain't the guy to do it, all right? But unfortunately, I couldn't find anything really analyzing the data and trying to find out, well, sort of, what is there a trend? Where is that trend coming from? Where are there certain things that we can learn from this? But again, that's not going to be that's going to be discussed later in the more serious part. The first part is actually just to kind of soothe everyone's outrage by demonstrating the way that people try to take tragedy and essentially do whatever other political bullshit they want to come through. Or every agenda that you have on your mind, you're just waiting for one thing that shocks people and then say, here's the reason why that happened. And there's 11 offensive things in that list. So let's start with the first one. And this one's not a big surprise. So the Westboro Baptist Church, right after the incident happens, puts out a tweet saying, you know, praise to God for killing innocents in order to show his outrage, and then promising that they were going to picket the funeral because they're in the business of outrage. I mean, they're going to go where the action is, and that's pretty much, I think it ranks pretty much as high in terms of the offensive things that they can do list. Right.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations for them, because for a while they had basically become kind of obsolete.
A bit
they weren't
tame,
getting any,
right?
No attention, because, you know, you can only see their God hates fags signs, you know, so many times before it's just not even shocking anymore. It's just they've become their own kind of stereotype, so no one takes them seriously anymore. So this is the first time in a while that they've done anything, that anybody has done anything other than just roll their eyes at.
Yeah, true, and it inspired the hacker group Anonymous to retaliate, eventually leading to her Shirley what's her full name again? Anyways,
don't drag me into this. I didn't try to fucking pull it out of my ass.
Shirley Phelps, and they basically, the Anonymous group, or at least a subgroup of them, hacked her Twitter account and then essentially was trying to put links to sign a government petition to put them on a list of hate group. So that is that's the way they hacked them. They were just,
I guess that's okay. Like that's not, you know, I don't want to talk shit about Anonymous because hey, they terrify me too. But sometimes when they do these things and they say, oh, we're going to take down these people's website, it's not that impressive to me.
Well, the problem too is that the hacker who did it is this teen kid. I forget what his name is.
They're all teenagers.
He's technically violated his parole by doing this. And some people are saying, hey, you know, justice, come on, give him a break on this one. And I'm sort of like, well, they're probably not going to. But you have to wonder how hard they'll be at slapping on the wrist for that one. Be like, oh, you hacked those pieces of shit. Really? That sucks.
Yeah, but it just seems like there's, you know, these hack attacks... if you want to, there must be more effective or useful things that they can be doing than taking down websites or taking over Twitter accounts. That's all very well and good, but, you know, how about identity, stealing these people's identity, running their credit into the ground?
Wow, you're hardcore, man.
I am. I mean, if you're going to be anonymous and you were Legion and you can do anything.
Yeah. Do you know who you are? You're Sean Connery from fucking The Untouchables. They bring a knife, you bring a gun.
I mean, the last awesome thing that Anonymous did was they went inside of Syria and they basically released like a shit ton of Syrian government officials' emails, and that was really good. So maybe if they went in and they got all these guys' emails and just sent them all out.
We already know they have poisonous, stupid opinions. What else do we need to know about the Phelps family?
I'm sure they're doing illegal things that get them in trouble if brought to light. You don't think that they're responsible for, like, legal entrapment and various other, like, schemes?
I don't know. The problem is they're probably a registered church, which means that all of their schemes can be hidden, and then you would be uncovering all kinds of other trouble. And besides, people in the U.S., they just don't like it when you mess with churches. Don't mess with them, no matter how corrupt these places are. Just don't mess with them.
Yeah, anyways, I'm just saying that, you know, like, you know, leaving it in the hands of Anonymous, I'm like, well, good for them for doing something, but I'm still, you know, it's... Ooh, it's on the computer.
Yeah. And
I'm sure the Westboro Baptist Church is very computer oriented.
And here's basically the problem, right? Here's a group that's using, that's assaulting another group for, you know, picketing a mass murder. There's a lot of assaulting going on here, right? At what point do we basically say that's not really the solution? So I can understand that the prank that they did is still harmless. I don't like your bring a gun and fucking shit to the morgue attitude. That's a bit nutty. But, you know, kudos to you for having the balls to go full IRA there, buddy. Damn. Don't mess with Ryan, eh? Shit. Remind me not to pull a prank on you or something. Okay, number two, this one's pretty offensive. Tennessee pastor Sam Morris claimed that the shootings happened because schools teach evolution. Yeah. He also said, and here's his quote, "We all get up in arms about 20 children being shot at a daycare, but we don't give one good glory rip about the 40,000 that we removed violently from the wombs of their mothers the same day." So abortion and evolution is the reason why. That's his little politicizing. Yeah. I wonder what he was really concerned about.
Yeah, these ones are my favorite because they're the most blatant. They're the most blatant agenda ones ever, where they're trying to, like, oh, this is a tragedy. I'm just going to try and use it to push my little pet projects through.
Yeah. That one's is pretty. That's clear as day. The number three, radio host Brian Fisher. I don't know if you know him. He always says things that are pretty repulsive. Claimed that it was because prayer is forbidden in schools, which it is not, and which was followed with the former presidential candidate and governor Mike Huckabee saying that it was because God was not allowed in schools. It's like you kick God out, and that's why you have shootings.
So he's like a vampire. You have to invite him in for him to protect you? I don't know. This is another, like...
Look, I've read the Bible. Even when you invite him to protect him, you're always violating some of his fucking commandments, and he'll just betray your ass. So
depending on his mood or what seems to be important at the time.
Pretty much. I'm like, you know, I could say that the success of other people that aren't into Yahweh are probably indicative of the fact that he was not the guy to follow. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the interesting things about these ones is it kind of goes even further. It's not just an agenda where they're trying to say we want to be able to do this again. It's just one of those good old, you're not believing in God hard enough, so he's smiting people now.
he's putting the judgment on.
I know, which kind of gives him almost as much of an active role in this whole thing as the shooter, don't you think?
Yeah, that's pretty much the complicit judgments just around every corner. I wonder if they see it as the fact that this evil creeps around and this God shield protects you, or if it really is the God hates gays so much that he's going to kill a whole bunch of kids through this weird psycho.
Don't forget he hates evolution too.
Right. Evolution. Well, let's get to the next one. Representative Louis Gohmert. I don't know if I pronounced that right, said that the problem was that there were not enough guns to prevent the mass shooting. So the solution would have been to have more guns so that if everybody there in the school or whatever, if there's guns laying around, this wouldn't have happened.
Pretty sure if there were more guns in schools, more guns would be used to kill more kids. That would just naturally happen.
Things would somehow just really escalate when there's guns around. Isn't that... It tends to be what happens. Actually, it's funny because there was a guy I think it was in Florida, I'm not sure where. Basically, there was a drunken discussion about the Sandy Hook massacre, and it escalated, and the guy pulled out a gun and he shot at the person he was arguing with. No one was injured, because I guess he was drunk and a really bad shot. But I think it kind of illustrates the problem with the whole gun thing. It's like, oh yeah, you lost control and you got really mad. And there was this death machine that was just right next to you. This is the solution to all things. And I don't know if you know this, but, and this was actually uncharacteristic. This is the first time this has ever happened. The NRA decided that old people with guns should not use social media. So they basically took down their Facebook account. They took it right down. And they asked, like, even members, be like, don't say shit on social media networks because you don't understand the fucking power of your stupid words, I think is the clear message right there. Yeah.
Well, if there was one thing that galvanized me, and I'm sure a bunch of other people, it was the stupid reaction from a lot of people that acted as if there's no giant middle ground between the laws we have now and the laws that we should have, other than just, you know, they're going to ban all our guns.
Well, would you be surprised if I told you that in 7 states following the shooting, gun sales went up for assault rifles and for larger capacity clips? And one of those states was Connecticut, the very state that had the mass killing.
I can believe it because they think they're going to be illegal soon. So you better arm yourself.
Better fucking arm yourself. You better get all the guns because they come for your guns.
And you know, it's going to be a difficult argument to win against a lot of these people because they're the kind of folks that think that the government is literally going to get them and they need to potentially rise up against the government. And hey, considering the shit that the government does nowadays, I ain't giving them too much like slack for that.
I understand. I understand. It's pretty hardcore. It's pretty hardcore. I don't think that people, even most Americans, understand the fact that their government in many ways is a rogue state that goes around and illegally bombs other people, killing them, innocents, while at the same time offering crocodile tears. You know, like I understand President Obama right after going over and saying this is a tragedy. Fine. But I mean, what about all the rest of these other fucking kids that are dying because you're sending goddamn missiles at them? It's like I don't see a lot of crying, and I'm sure that's a pretty fucking major crime right there. So I mean, you kind of understand that your country is a two-headed entity. You know, you got a nice side that people like, and then you have a side that bombs people. It's a real side that supports crazy dictators that genocide their own people. This is real stuff that happened. And people that did that were not held responsible. That's kind of a rogue nation. It's interesting, actually, that that's a title of a book written by a conservative who makes that accusation about America, saying, like, you're out of control. And that was coming from, like, a pretty hardcore conservative that worked for, like, the Nixon government. So I'm like, and that was actually written in the 90s. I wonder what he'd say. I think maybe I should buy the 3rd or 4th edition if he hasn't already hung himself or something.
Yeah, but, you know, this whole thing kind of just brings up the point that the NRA has already won the... It's all about ideas and how you frame them and how they resonate within the public. And you could definitely tell, even after 20 kids were fucking murdered...
Well, they went into hiding. I don't think that they understood the fact that...
Yeah, I know, but they've already won. The idea that was planted in everybody's brain that, you know, gun control is bad and Second Amendment this and everything, it's so strongly held that you're going to have to pry that idea out of their cold,
right,
dead hands.
Of course you are. But, you know, here's what I think is part of the issue. Number one, if you actually look at the statistics, and I wanted to know, like, is it the availability of guns that's part of the reason here? And there's lots of different conclusions, but one thing that is clear is that the amount of homes with guns, it's not the number of guns, but the amount of homes with guns has gone significantly down. So in the long run, there is a kind, like, the public opinion about firearms has changed in general. Like, I think people do understand them as dangerous. The difference is that the people who are for firearms are buying all of them and buying a lot of them. Like in the U.S., there are still 270 million guns. For every 100 person, there's 88 guns. So there's not a lot of room. You know, when somebody shows up, only 12 people wouldn't get guns in that ratio in a room. And you're wondering, like, what would happen if an argument broke out? And there's that much availability. I mean, like, that's still a lot of motherfucking guns. And you have to look at what kind of guns they are, right? These are not just hunting rifles. A lot of these are pretty serious assault rifles or fucking semi-automatics. Kind of things that are really scary, you know? Like death rays, as far as we're concerned, you know? And Monkey Land, this thing that can propel metal that, you know, only other metal can stop. It's terrifying. And you can wield it. A child can wield it. And children do wield them in some horrific, horrific ways that you should not be made aware of, or else you'll be depressed. We're not that kind of show yet. But, yeah, so that's the thing. I think that in the long run, definitely the NRA will lose, because the public opinion can't help but change in light of all of these. They're happening more frequently, and they're in your face more. And unfortunately, here's the trend that happens. A horrific event like this happens, and the murderers are glorified and become famous, and then they help lead to the fantasies of other copycat murderers. This is a real phenomenon. The exploitation of news of these tragedies lead to more tragedies. You know, we can track the way that other countries have tragedies and the way that their media deal with it, and the follow-up tragedies that are less frequent, largely attributed to the way that the media deals with it, where they're like, maybe we should stop talking about it, because we're creating this idea that, hey, are you a loser that's going to accomplish nothing? You want to be famous? Why don't you take some of these, you know, 270 million guns that are fucking lying around and go nuts? Go nuts and try to outdo each other in terms of how horrific you get. Right? Sort of a movie theater is not good enough. Go to a school and be the guy that shoots multiple times in these kids. Like, he shot one kid 11 times. You got to be pretty fucked up to shoot a kid and to shoot him 11 times.
Yeah, well, maybe one of the weird, sick ways that the increase in these kinds of tragedies is helped is that for the most part, people aren't remembering who's doing them. I mean, I think the last one where the names really stuck with everybody was Columbine, but, you know, what's the name of the theater killer? What's the name of the Virginia Tech killer? It's happening so often that people aren't paying as much attention to the people actually doing it. Yeah, it was horrific. Well, yeah. But the killers' names aren't being remembered as much as they used to. The fame factor, I think, is going down to a certain degree, even though the attention is being ramped up.
Right. Well, I think I understood. The NRA basically chose to hide itself, because the thing is, there's a kind of moratorium on how long you can be totally detached and not sympathetic towards the death of kids. It's much longer than adults. Sort of an adult gets killed, and you're like, well, you had a bit of a run. And then with kids, you're just like, oh, no, I have kids. I empathize with you. You force empathy on me. Oh, no. Ah. So there's a longer moratorium. But don't think that people don't say some callous-ass shit right shortly after, because the truth is, after shootings, people's opinions about gun control don't change. Some of them tend to be reinforced. They have no choice, because what happens is that the pressure against this sort of rampant gun ownership and gun culture is going to force the people that are part of that culture to double down on crazy. That's why people purchased more fucking weapons. That's why the sales of bulletproof backpacks have gone through the roof, because that's the solution now. Be like, well, just put bulletproof vests on your kids when they go to school.
That's depressing.
It is a little bit depressing, yeah. But, you know, like I said before, this show is about the politicizing, but don't think that there aren't lots of people in there, too, that aren't making tons of money off of this. Because, you know, this is the part that's so sick, tragedies help gun sales. Isn't that fucked up? Tragedy is a good thing if you sell guns, because you'll sell more guns. I remember I read... Joe Rogan had a tweet. He put that, you know, guns are a tool, so don't blame the tool. Use the person who's, you know, blame the person who's using the tool. And I was kind of like, look, maybe they were a tool in the times where you were just foraging for your fucking food out there. You need to shoot it. But now it's more of a kind of way to, it's designed to kill people. And if you really believe that the world is built on a foundation of fucking bones, then yeah, okay, all right. It is a tool. It is a tool to create the bones needed to build your foundation. But let's be honest about what kind of tool it really is here. All right, this is not a hammer. And it has a very specific fucking intent and design. And some of them are really scary. Like the kind that Lanza character used. It was a pretty scary weapon. All right? Tear through a lot of flesh with that.
I haven't gotten a clear idea on what exactly he was hauling. There were so many contradicting stories about
really?
Which weapons were used and which were in the vehicle and
okay.
stuff like that.
He used a M4 type carbine, which you've used probably in countless video games. It looks a bit like the M16, but it's just like more powerful.
Is it the one that has the grenade launcher thing attached to it usually? Not in real life, but in the video game. I seem to remember the M4.
I believe so, yeah, I believe so, but that's an entirely different attachment, I think. Don't quote me on this, people. I may not be, you know, I'm not a gun specialist, as is...
You got a lot of Call of Duty fans being raging at
I know, there would be a lot of Call of Duty fans, but, you know, this particular type of weapon is deadly. This is the kind of thing that if you imagine that you're, you know, the framers of the Constitution who had muskets thought that this would eventually be... available and should be distributed. I don't really think that's the kind of intent. And if it is, then they were psycho. I don't think they realize the kind of what this is used for specifically. And I think that we're moving towards a world where these kinds of weapons. I mean, like we really don't want to solve conflicts this way anymore. I think we're realizing the fact that the whole violence thing. Can we just cool the jets on that? Because I think we all agree that it's all making us sick, right? That we glorify it, but the people who actually do it will tell you that it sucks and that it fucked them up. So, you know, the problem with a culture of violence is that when you don't deal with the actual consequences of that violence, you ignore it. You know, like say, you know, the far right that says after shootings is not a time to talk about it. I think it's a fucking perfect time to address it. Didn't you think it was weird that whole, remember how they were attacking Bob Costas following that football player who killed his girlfriend? And he's saying, yeah, it's now time for reform. That we need to have a conversation. The availability of guns is the reason why this violence happens. And then the NRA comes out and says, we're so sick and tired of this conversation. I think this is also the timing that led to their going into hiding, because it was so close to that whole conversation being like, no, we don't really need to have... The gun control, everything's fine. Everything is not fine. Things are pretty fucked up. But the problem, of course, is that nothing can change, right? It's American now. Change is impossible.
Yeah, especially when you got organizations like the NRA trying to force change to not happen. I mean, this is a $300 million a year organization. The biggest anti-gun lobby makes is like $1 million a year.
Those pussy-ass leftists, eh?
Well, it's just, where do you think the money comes from? The money comes from the people selling the guns and the ammunition and anything surrounding gun culture. There's an entire industry set up around this that makes a lot of money. And, of course, this industry is going to protect itself. Anytime that there's a corporation is going to act in its best interest. If its best interest is filtering a couple $1 million from its profits into the NRA so the NRA can keep their particular, like, let's say, high number ammunition clip on sale in America, then, you know, you're going to spend that money and you're going to consider it a good fucking investment. So that's the fucked up thing about it, is anytime you give anybody any of these companies a financial reason to do the wrong thing, they will do it. And in this case, that transpires into putting political pressure on politicians to keep any change from ever going through that will affect their bottom line negatively. So that's really that's the crazy thing about it, is you take the morality out of it. And it's really the Frankenstein of capitalism gone rampant that's keeping the status quo. And you'll see that across the board. Just don't think giant conspiracies. Just follow the money, and you'll find that Frankenstein wandering through, just causing all sorts of problems.
All sorts. I mean, did you read about the HSBC bankers, or should we call them banksters, and how they basically got away with laundering money for terrorists? And the excuse was that if they jailed these guys, it would damage the economy.
Which is insane. It doesn't even make any sense.
It's actually opposite. You would be helping the economy by not only jailing them, but by making sure they gave the money back.
Yeah, and not just that. Maybe like putting something down by basically... You should have a license to practice banking. And if you do anything that's beyond the pale, you should lose that license and be kicked out of that industry.
There's a history of corruption with the banking system that goes back so far. I mean, even the founding fathers were like, banks are a problem. I think they understood that, especially after the fact that the Rothschild family profited from Napoleon's loss by basically lying to the, you know, to the British people, saying that Napoleon had won, and then when the fucking stocks tanked like a motherfucker, picked everything up. I'm like, that's just what you expect from powerful and rich people that work above the law. They're like, well, my participation in world economy and politics is so important that if you jail me, you would be harming the world, irrevocably. It's unbelievable. And you just sort of like, oh, well, I guess we got to accept that's the new narrative now. If you can just become powerful and rich enough, then you are above all law. This is the lesson that we learned from saying, like, hey, when capitalism was fighting against communism, you're like, which one shall win? Well, you're like, at the end, it doesn't matter because corruption will be rampant.
Yeah, that was one of the more depressing bits of news from this week. I mean, there was the shooting and then there was this. And both of them really kind of gave me a depressing, nothing's ever changing vibe about the world, which, you know, is perfect for my Christmas spirit.
I think I agree. See, I just feel somehow that I'm leading you down a dark path by continuing the show. Maybe we should switch focus.
Oh, don't worry about it. The path is already set. I've already walked down it. The only way that I'm going to escape that is if I just stop reading everything.
Maybe that can happen one day. You know, you sort of retire, you live in a fucking camp in the woods, never being connected to the internet. How would you feel about that? Would you be like Ted Kaczynski?
Well, I already basically live in a cabin in the woods. It's not in the woods, it's in the city, but I don't leave it.
Might as well be in the woods, right? Yeah, but the whole difference about the whole cabin in the woods thing is that there's no indoor plumbing and there's no amenities that you're probably accustomed to, so... Are you saying that basically you have to be isolated in technology? But isn't that the whole problem? Isn't that the reason why it's making you depressed? You got to get away from it, man. You got to get rustic.
Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, what's happening is happening regardless of whether or not you pay attention to it or not. That's really where you start debating whether or not you need to be paying attention or not. Because if you're one of those people that follows up on all this HSBC type stuff, or the fact that nothing is going to happen about gun control or anything else, or just, you know, the rigmarole of daily political infighting that leads to nothing, then you realize that this is not Schrodinger's cat. There will not be a different outcome if you are paying attention or not paying attention to it. It's going to be what it is, and you just have to decide whether or not being educated about it, and probably because you're educated about it, depressed about it, is better or worse for you in your life. And I'll tell you the truth. I think for a lot of people, until something maybe can be done, maybe the answer is no, it's not worth the drag on your soul, the jadedness it gives you,
the darkness,
because, I mean, especially in a situation where many people are, you know, low wage or out of work or anything else like that, you're following this and you know things aren't getting better. That's just going to, you know, make you more hopeless, and it's going to impact your ability to recognize the parts of the system that do work, that you could really take to move yourself up in this world. Because this is what we forget through all of this negativity and all of this bullshit and everything that we learn about how the world isn't working is that so much of it does work. And so much of it works so well.
I know,
well.
And we don't get to see that often. And you know what's really fucked up? A lot of these mass killers, by the way, I think that what they have is the same negativity that we just complain about, where they see only this evil in the world and they create a twisted narrative where they think they're the good guys. Like the Virginia Tech shooter guy thought that he was somehow combating against the rich, that he was going to be some, you know, hero of the oppressed. He managed to twist his own narrative that badly. And it's not surprising when you're like, well, if you go out there and you see all the evil and corruption in the world and you just focus entirely on that and, you know, you're a hermit living in a surrounded by technology, then you, sir, could be a candidate for mass killing. Uh-oh. Ryan, we need to talk. You and I. Oh, wait, you don't really have a fascination with guns, so at least there's that, right? Or do you?
No. 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 Although, I'll tell you the truth, I do kind of want to learn how to sharpshoot.
Sharpshoot, really?
Yeah, from, like, far away, like, half a mile.
Is there a particular reason?
It just seems like a really useful skill to have.
In what situation, precisely?
In like an end of the world type situation.
See, here we go. This is it.
in a everything falls apart, in a fortress world situation. You know about fortress world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We've had other podcasts where you've talked
about where I've mentioned Fortress
Yeah,
Hold.
Yeah. I think actually one of them is going to be in the Essentials, so it's immortalized now.
Okay,
you're officially crazy.
Well, look, all I'm saying is that, you know, we like to imagine that we're going to rise up before things get really bad. Have the people in China risen up because it's really bad there? Have the people in North Korea risen up because it's really bad there? No one's rising up from shit.
All right, but
Fortress World,
actually,
you're going to have all those poor,
you're wrong,
hungry piece of shits outside Fortress World living on scraps. This is like the Hunger Games,
it's
man.
Not
it's exactly like the Hunger
that
Games.
That way at all. Okay, let me give you a little bit of a brighter future outlook, please, than your bleakness. Good God, man. First of all, we just had a conversation about people not seeing all the good that the world is bringing. That's just that's just at the fingertips, just waiting for something to happen. But here's the more important part, and this is extremely important. You look at the best way for change to happen is not violent and sudden. It's gradual. And sometimes it's so gradual, you don't get to see it. That's evolution, buddy. And I have confidence that there's at least enough about us that is, you know, evolutionarily programmed that we're not going to let ourselves fuck up too bad. The human experience is mostly about fucking up. But there are times you're just like, did you fuck up so bad that it's over? And I'm like, I don't think that that's going to happen. Because as time goes on, and not only our ability to communicate with one another has just increased exponentially, but with that comes possibility. The only dystopia that I see possible is if communication becomes cut off in some way. But that would also require us to have mass amnesia about technology. And I don't think that's really going to happen right now. I think that the interest is there, the fucking genie's out of the bottle, and we are just eating that shit up. And it's going to get better, and we're going to be able to communicate. I mean, there's a company in Japan that came out with an app that can translate Japanese to English in real time. The Universal Translator exists, motherfucker. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure it gives out about as good as Google does.
Oh, right. Let's complain about... Okay, here's another good example, right? The first time they designed a nuclear power plant, do you know how much power it gave out? It gave out half a watt, the first nuclear power plant. Of course, the following year, it gave out about 1 million watts. Truth about... Look, when you make a big discovery, yeah, sometimes there's going to be a few flubs, but we are great at picking the flaws, refining stuff, you know, really, really refining our craft. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was a Mayan woman actually, frozen, and they had unthawed her, and her clothes, everything about her was completely pristine. And let me tell you something, her clothes look like your clothes. And this is a long time ago. This is somewhere where you might think, oh, you know, everything's going to look real rough. No, fabric was sophisticated, the pattern was elegant. It was well-crafted because it was made by talented fucking monkeys, man. We're talented monkeys. Have a little bit of fucking confidence in the human race, man. Sharpshooting, why don't you learn something that actually benefits humanity rather than allows you to shoot people from afar, you crazy maniac?
Well, look, all I'm saying is that this isn't something that I actually expect to happen. I'm just saying that there's...
The interest is there.
Maybe a 10% chance that things will go Fortress World, and if that happens, then a skill like sharpshooting would be useful.
Right.
So that's my own fixation with guns. I play into it just as much as many of the other paranoid monkeys on this planet.
Sure, sure. I mean, you have no... It never crosses your mind that the very thing that you own could be turned and used against you. Which it most often is, statistically speaking.
Yeah, the most likely person to be shot with your gun is you.
You are a family member. And if not... The burglar who broke into your house and took your gun and shot you. So that's another good one. It's like, oh, well, he was only armed with a crowbar until I gave him a gun. Because you know what happens when you're fearful and afraid? Oh, my God. You don't want to know. Okay, let's move on to the next one, politicizing this hilariously. Ted Nugent, who always loves to politicize mass shootings.
Why do people pay attention to anything that he says?
I don't know. I guess there's lots of people who really appreciate his music. And if you look at, if you think about it, back when Mitt Romney, you remember him, was trying to run for president, and we all thought that was possible. And Ted Nugent was one of two celebrities that came out. The second celebrity was Lindsay Lohan. Like, it was, there's some slim pickings these days in celebrity endorsement for the right. And, you know, so it means that if you're going to actually endorse the right, you have a good chance of making a lot of publicity, dude. People are going to say, like, hey, well, all right, well, you're a celebrity who has something crazy to say.
And it's fucking lucrative. You remember Christine O'Donnell, the witch? Or she's not a witch. She's just like you.
Oh, right, right, right. Of course.
She made $500,000 off her Christine pack, her little political pack party. And, like, just through donations. And the great thing about those is that you don't have to...
It's a money laundering
thing,
scheme.
Yeah, the super PAC thing was the hilarious thing that happened to the Republicans this year because of Citizens United and the whole super PAC thing was that all of this money that would have gone into, who knows, effective campaigning for the Republican
was
Party
just wasted.
Yeah, it was just given to a bunch of shysters who just took it and, like, paid themselves consulting fees out the ass. And yeah,
the system works, Ryan.
Yeah, seriously. But it just goes to show you that being a crazy whatever wing, left wing, right wing, doesn't make much of a difference. Crazy shill is very lucrative, and if you get on that bandwagon, I'm sure Ted Nugent is doing just fine nowadays,
going to a bunch of
gun rallies and other shit like that.
His concerts must really attract people who have an appreciation for the insane things that he has to say.
Yeah, exactly. Like, which woman is he going to suggest sucks on his assault rifle barrel this week? That's my question.
And film it. Please film it for the world and show us how hot that is, Ted.
Yeah, share it. You were an enlightened fucking soul.
So Ted said that the reason why the shootings happened was because we live in a politically correct culture. Yeah. So somehow the fact that there are more and more restrictions to having guns is leading to... Oh, well, that and, of course, the spiritual bankruptcy of the wreckage of traditional marriage, i.e. other people having rights that you have. That conflict with this book of fairy tales you say is real, is leading, of course, to, you know, the system rotting.
So we had to throw in that whole marriage thing. So that basically it's the gays' fault for loving each other and wanting to get married?
Well, he had to throw that in there. But that's part of the politically correct. For him, politically correct means allowing gays to...
I ain't allowed to call you fags.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to make fun of you or to demean you in any way or to assault you. For loving someone of the same sex, you piece of shit. That's basically... And of course, all of this, I swear, you could wrap it up and say, that's my religious freedom, man. It's my religious freedom. Mm. All right, next one. Newt Gingrich blames anti-religious secular bureaucracy and violent video games. So he blames the institution that gave him a job, I guess. And video games. It's weird. Those two are very different. But I guess when... which is weird because, you know what? I don't believe for a fucking second that Newt Gingrich is religious at all. I don't believe for one fucking moment. Do you? You really think he's that religious?
I have no idea. I mean, I have a hard time believing anybody when you, like... When you put them in a corner, like, you know, push them into a corner and you have a real talk with them and you boil down what they really believe... I have a hard time believing that anybody actually really believes, you know, the whole Adam and Eve and the original sin and Jesus rising from the dead and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's really easy to kind of pick at anything from the Bible. It's that first grip that you kind of start pulling at where the person admits, yeah, okay, that's probably just the story. And then from there, you're able to just rip that entire fucking thing apart. And all of a sudden, you've left them naked with no faith. So I have a hard time believing that anybody, like, when push comes to shove, how many people you're actually able to line up and
I think it would shock
really
you.
Have faith.
It would shock you.
Yeah.
It would shock you because you're not exposed to it.
It's true.
You're a hermit and you live on the internet, and the internet is a really different world from the regular world. It's way more fucking left-leaning, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the internet is a place of atheists. What percentage of the fucking internet is non-believer? I think we actually outnumber the believers. Seriously. I mean, just go on any motherfucking site, and you're just like, wow. It's quite shocking, actually. It may change, you know, because like anything, once something becomes popular enough, people come to ruin it. And, you know, slowly the masses will ruin the internet.
Yeah.
It used to be a cool place, man. All right, no, I'm going to be positive. The internet's going to keep growing, right? Keep getting better. Just become more sophisticated to make sure that the dumb people take longer to acclimatize to new and updating technology.
It's good that Newt Gingrich threw in that violent video games thing. He really shows his age. I mean, Gingrich has been around for fucking ever. I mean, I remember he went down in flames like back in the 90s too and shit like that. I'm amazed that he's able to come back. But, you know, violent video games is something straight out of the 80s and 90s. It's nice that someone pulls out that little fucking canard.
There was a few of those, you know, trying to say, well, there's the culture of violence in video games, and you have to tell these guys, listen, the United States is not the only place that plays violent video games. And in every other country that plays these, there's an actual declining rate of violence with increased video game play. Now, that could just be just a correlation, not causation. But there is an argument that could be made that perhaps they form a bit of an outlet for some people that might be slightly predisposed that choose to do that instead. It's kind of the same way that actually watching porn reduces the amount of rapes. I mean, it's sort of like, this is also why I feel so angry when, you know, we try to go with conventional wisdom, even though the science is telling us completely different. And we don't want to listen to the science. We're just like, no. Conventional wisdom tells me that a video game is violent, therefore it makes people violent. It's like, well, that's not what the studies are saying. And we need to stop believing this conventional wisdom that's wrong. It's so hard for us to teach people to, like, number one, why they should trust science. Because, you know, if you live in a world where you're told to just trust the clergy, the reasons why you trust the clergy and the reason why you trust science are very different. But people, I think, sometimes confuse the two, right? They make that same association. Like, you're telling me to just accept anything a scientist is telling me. It's like, that's not at all what we're saying when we say science. I didn't say listen to scientists. I said listen to the findings of science. Science is a process. You know, that's the thing that we still can't get people to understand. It is a tool. Anyone can use it. There are instances of people, of kids using it, of being even published in scientific reviewed, peer-reviewed journals. Because that's who can do science. Anybody. Anybody can fucking do it. But I guess that in everybody's mind is like the least accessible thing in the fucking world, right? They're just like, I don't understand it. I don't want to. I'm going to just trust my conventional wisdom. And you're just like, we need to trust science more. Because conventional wisdom is going to lead us astray really fast. You know? It's like conventional wisdom told you that there's no way that we could have an influence on the planet's atmosphere. Well, your conventional wisdom is wrong. It's like, the science has spoken. There's not fucking any snow right now. And I'm in a pretty cold place in Calgary. So it's like, I don't even need anecdotal evidence. There's science behind us. All right. Let's move on. So the next guy, I don't know if you remember him. Do you remember the third eagle of the apocalypse, William Tapley?
The third eagle of the apocalypse?
Yeah. He was featured on Colbert a few times. I think I've mentioned him on the show as well. He's this crazy nutbag who keeps saying that the end times are coming. And he released a video after Obama spoke about the Sandy Hook thing. And it was pretty fucking hilarious because the entire time he's trying to do this whole numerology thing. Like, President Obama's the 44th president. And he said that this was the fourth time that they had met. And therefore, he's the fourth beast of the, you know, prophesied in Revelation. He's the leopard with the with the head of a lion, because it's really imaginative, seated next to the dragon. He has actually, I'm going to put a link to his video. It's actually pretty fucking hilarious the way he's like, you see the president sold himself. And he's like, how many times does God have to tell you through this weird numerology that I just made up that Barack Obama is the Antichrist?
There should be some kind of tag that you could put on YouTube videos where it's like, this person is straight up legitimately crazy.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, don't listen,
crazy.
Don't Don't listen to a word they fucking say. This person has been deemed non-credible by the internet.
Okay, here's the next one. Ann Coulter tweeted that more guns would have meant less mass shootings. So that's her opinion.
You know, that whole more guns thing has been an argument that's being used over and over and over. And I think at this point now, because there's such a saturation of guns everywhere, and so many places have loosened gun laws to allow more concealed carry and guns on school property and yada, yada, yada. It hasn't changed anything. I think that's one of those ones that is really starting to piss people off. Because if out of this was really a crucible for all of these ideas, for all of these fucking memes that get, and these tropes that get brought up every time there's a shooting. And because of the outrage level that people had over the number of kids murdered senselessly and the number of times that this has happened, all of a sudden you've got all these tropes coming up again. But this time people are actually paying attention and they're getting angry. And this is one of those ones that I think people have really started to get offended at.
Well, the last time there was something of this degree of that shocked the nation was actually in 1927, and the killer didn't use guns. He actually used pipe bombs and fire and shit like that. And it was a pretty big deal. I have to wonder though. I mean, like we are kind of the world of the forget everything that happened just even a few months ago, right? Hey, do you remember that really bad oil spill? Right. No, of course you don't. Honestly, this is the problem. There's so many other things that kind of take our attention. And if you look at the Virginia Tech shooting right after, if you look at the trend of gun control laws, some places actually passed carrying conceal laws on campuses. So in some schools and areas, they got crazier. They doubled down, like I said. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to double down on crazy. And trust me, crazy has more political power than logical and reasoning. Because logical and reasoning means that you have to convince other logical and reasoning people that your argument is correct. And that's really fucking hard. But if I'm just using emotion, say I'm right and do what the fuck I say, wow. Talk about a difference, huh? Let's see how many people I can galvanize rather than your butt herding cats. It's like, I'm herding a shitload of sheep. And we've designed a system where we give power to the sheep. So, fuck you. Blame the shepherds. All right, next shepherd, James Dobson, says that, again, it was abortion and gay marriage.
So who's James Dobson?
He's like a preacher. He's like a famous preacher. You don't know James Dobson. Maybe he hasn't really been in the news that much. I think he was more in the news in the 90s. Maybe he was more relevant then. Still doesn't ring a bell? You need to go back. Maybe you don't, kind of like, you know, the Tammy Faye Baker days and kind of like, you know, the good old. Pat Robertson was also much more energetic in those days. Now he's more of old, crazy fogey.
Oh, they were really one of the, you got to look at them in the context of these were the first guys to get onto cable television and really strut their stuff on a national scale.
Oh, yeah, they really changed. They really changed the face of religion in America. I think that really what happened was that there was somewhat of a decline, you know, during the 80s of religion and shit. And I really think that their TV network deals and whatever really helped to kind of reinvigorate religion in America. So, you know, you can blame these assholes. Mm-hmm. They just came up and they just they exploited new technology really early on. And it worked out pretty fucking awesome for them. I mean, I can't imagine how much these guys made in terms of money. It's how much do you think Pat Robertson is worth?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably a lot. I would say he's definitely above $10 million.
Oh God, I'd probably put it in like the 40-50 million range. Yeah. Like he and who knows what other kinds of fucking money he's got lying around. You know, money that I'm sure he's like, this is God's money and I'm holding onto it. You know, Cayman Islands. So that was the, yeah. Okay, so there's another one for gay marriage. The last one, this one is actually kind of shocking, was this anti-feminist Charlotte Allen said that it was because there weren't any men running the school. So if there would have been more dudes, presumably there would have been some kind of diehard-like situation. where he would have just stopped the terrorists or something.
Yeah, where they pointed, yeah, there wasn't any, like, if only there was a janitor there, he would have been able to magically, like, I don't know.
Kung fu that, like, shit.
Yeah, hit the guy in the face with his mop. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds plausible.
You really watched too many movies at that point, really.
Yeah, I heard someone else talking about how the kids should have been trained to rush the shooter. And
there have been arguments that have been made to that effect, yeah, that if people stopped training, you know, started training themselves to bum rush mass murderers, there would be fewer deaths.
I really doubt that.
I think that you're just sort of like, for the mass shooter with an automatic weapon, it provides a steady stream of people. I mean, if you've ever played a first-person shooter, you know that that's actually the strategy of most of the artificial intelligence, and they go down pretty easy. You know, not having weapons and things and just bum-rushing you.
Yeah, or just you know, look at how that worked in World War One. You know, soldiers, you know...
Oh, being just mowed down?
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, this is one of the things that I was worried about coming into this show is, you know, we were going to talk about the shooting. I'm glad we focused on just making fun of what other people said, because...
That was necessary. I didn't really want to talk about the shooting itself. I mean, I did talk about some parts of it, but, I mean, it is horrific, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just one of these situations where everybody feels like they have to say something about it, and quite often they end up saying something fucking stupid, like the if there were men at the school, then it could have been stopped, or kids need to turn into fucking bum rushing psychos or something like that. Or you hear stories about some of the suggestions for gun control that I read. There was a guy that suggested that all guns should come with the ammunition cartridge, like, locked into, like basically it's all built as one piece. So once the bullets in that gun are gone, then that gun is useless. And it, just the height of pointless, stupid babble.
Yappity yaps. But that's why we focused on the politicizing. Somebody has an agenda or a dumb idea, and they're like, aha, I figured out a way that people are going to listen. Because as soon as you make any search on any fucking network for Sandy Hook, now you have a giant audience of people that are, I don't know, maybe they hunger for information. I mean, when I was reluctant to do the show because it involved me having to do a lot of fucking research on mass shootings in general, and that one in particular as well, because I wanted to see what elements of the story we were going to talk about. Because it's not a news program, this is an analysis program, right? We take a look at the news and we're saying, what the hell is going on here? Especially considering there was a few questions I wanted to address, right? Which I feel are things that we should address because they might be interesting conversations. Like, number one, okay, we must admit that these mass murderings are happening, and it's dudes doing it. All right. Why is it mostly dudes that do this? And what is motivating dudes to do this? And I think that there's one common trend. It's not universal, but there is a fairly common trend, and it tends to be white middle-class guys that have a feeling of entitlement and are combating against the feeling of loss of honor or opportunity. This is a really common trend. And it's kind of like it is terrifying in a sense, right? I don't want to just suddenly say we should fear all white men, but I think that it's interesting to note that the feelings that are being exploited are actually, like, I would love to talk about it in one of those, you know, what are the foundations of those types of feelings and emotions? I mean, like, for instance, we do train men to be killing machines, right? Look at how much the U.S. basically sucks the dick of the military. There's a culture there of men are death machines. And if you train a guy to be a fucking death machine, because in a sense, throughout our whole evolution, that is essentially part of been our job, right? To kill. That's what we're pretty good at. So every once in a while, when one of them does it, you're just like, what's happening? Why are guys who have the, you know, much more programmed to kill, why are they doing it? And if you realize that there are certain things that kind of trigger those mechanisms, maybe we can actually try to address those mechanisms rather than just saying, well, the issue is merely gun control. Okay, well, that will help because countries with good gun control have fewer killings, but they don't. There's not zero, right? And there's obviously weird attacks. Like the same day as the Sandy Hook massacre, there was a guy in China that was like attacked an elementary school with a knife. Of course, the difference was that there were 20 wounded children and not fucking dead children. But what the fuck was his problem, right? what is making people want to commit mass murders? Like, what is the impetus there? I want to understand it. Like, what the hell is causing them to do this? Is there like a chemical or something? I was trying to research, is it like testosterone? And there's apparently a correlation between a derivative of testosterone and its influence on behavior, but there's no clear link here. Like, is there something that might be triggering this?
I've read something about one guy was attributing it to the idea that they're, you know, younger and younger children being put on, you know, things like Ritalin and stuff, which is an amphetamine. And there's a lot of documentation about the fact that, you know, these kinds of drugs lead to psychotic breaks. So who knows? And then, of course, there's the other, you know, there's the two big topics on this one. There's gun control and then there's, you know, mental health. So
right, because there had been talk, at least, that part of the motivation may have been that his mother was considering committing him to a mental institution. And again, it's all speculative at this point because you're just waiting to hear more news. And this is why, sort of like when I actually went back and I was doing research on the Virginia Tech shooting, I felt like at that point, you know, the perspective had finally been cleared out.
The dust had settled,
and you could finally understand what was the motivation and what was going on, because it turns out that when people are no longer interested in that news, some of the truth can start seeping out because it's not filled with disinformation or just people trying to exploit you know, news for whatever purposes, to gather clicks or to gather views or to sell guns or to sell whatever, fucking backpacks that are bulletproof or the kinds of ridiculous, ludicrous things like that, right? Like, there's, like you said, follow the money. You're going to find lots of people that are fucking reaping advantage of this. And I think we should rightly be outraged by this. You know, that's a good emotion. Maybe that's at least one thing that we can do. Express our public outrage when people are actually trying to profit from this. Because it is, regardless of what that self-reflection is, it needs to happen. Because these types of tragedies are, I mean, they're almost becoming routine. And they're, and the, you know, the efficiency of these killers is getting scarily good. And it turns out that, look, it doesn't matter how much training you give police officials or whoever. It can be done so fast, it's over in a blink of an eye. Nobody knows what the fuck happened, and it's over. And the person with the intent to kill themselves in the end, how are you going to stop them? I mean, sure, maybe you can put a bullet in their head. They were going to do that anyways. Like, there was no stopping them once they had committed themselves to it. Our issue and the whole thing as a society is that we need to make sure that people don't get to that point, you know? What that involves? Well, I mean, like, that's a long series of conversations. But again, maybe some of the results, maybe conclusions, are going to have to come from science rather than our own fucking quote unquote common sense. Because then you get a whole bunch of dummies saying stupid things like the reason that we have shootings is because of gay marriage. That is just, I mean, I'm not gay, but I cannot imagine how insulting that must be. Wow. Like, holy shit! Do you not hear yourself, Grandpa? I hate you so much. So yeah, that's pretty much the show. I think we've covered the sensationalism of it, and I hope you guys aren't too tired from it. I hope I didn't, you know, because we don't watch television, despite the fact that I keep getting calls from my internet provider being like, "Do you want TV?" And I say no, and they're like, "Why not?" And I give them the same answer: TV is for old people. Okay. People who have to be told when to watch news. Ooh, I got to be at the TV at this time. Fuck that shit. I've got to watch commercials all day. Fuck that noise. So we don't watch it. So we don't know what most of you are subjected to. But I have to imagine that coming into this, you're already probably pretty trepidatious. Another Sandy Hook thing? Please no. So hopefully we didn't push you too far on that one. My apologies if we did. We'll try to do better next time. Well, we won't politicize or take advantage of tragedies to do shows. I promise.
There we go.
Next shows will be more cheery anyways. We're going to do a post-apocalyptic show, hopefully before the holidays. We'll try to. Scheduling can be difficult. I'm going to see if I can't wrangle Carissa to do a show before. She's busy as hell, though. I mean, you know how it is for the entertainers during this time. So hopefully you guys won't have too much of a separation anxiety. We'll try to please you as much as possible. That's our Christmas promise.
Sure.
Yeah, as soon as we got some time, we're going to get shows for you. And then after the holidays are over, back to regular schedules. I've got tons of interviews lined up, books that I've read from people, and awesome shows that we're going to be doing on historical figures like Jean-Jean Robert Houdin, and we're also going to do a show about essentially the Native American version of Jesus called the Peacemaker and the legend of him and all that shit, which is fucking equally fascinating. So we've got tons of great shows coming up. They're all lined up, but that's going to be after the holidays or Christmas or whatever the fuck else you call this season. What do you normally say to people, by the way? You say happy holidays? I don't even know if I say Merry Christmas.
I say I don't give a fuck. It doesn't affect me one way or another. I like anybody that would chide me because I said Christmas instead of anything else, I would say, you've got this atheism thing all wrong.
Also, by the way, this is an extremely religious song, but I realize that most people do not know that, and this is my favorite Christmas song of all time. I recommend you go on YouTube. I'm going to put a link to it. It's called That Spirit of Christmas by Ray Charles. My opinion is the best Christmas song ever. It's just wonderful and soulful, and I think for me it kind of represents it, even though it's got, you know, Jesus lyrics in it. You can ignore them. You're an adult, right? Are you going to freak out every time there's some religious mention in the song? Because you're going to miss out on a lot of music, man. You're going to miss out on Marvin Gaye. Let me just say that. And you don't want to do that. You want Marvin Gaye in your life. All right, with that, I'd like to thank everybody who's a supporting member. Please, if you're not, go to the site, become a member for $5 a month. Or there's also an option to just get the subscription for a year for $60 as well. Please, we require your support to keep going, and it's the holidays, too, so you know, your help will be appreciated, especially as I'm trying to wrap up the DVD, and unfortunately, I don't think I'll be able to get it out for Christmas, but that's just so I can put in the extra TLC to make it better. I mean, like, do you really care about Jesus' B-Day? Is that when you need the fucking present to come? No, you don't. You're a big boy. Big girls. You can handle waiting. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.